listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It was great seeing all the orange jerseys up there. I mean, that was a real treat to see that and to hear people cheering for you. And, you know, it made a big difference. I mean, I could see the energy on, you know, the positive energy, you know, on our team. And, I mean, it was great to have so many fans come to the ballpark.
As Dusty last night after the game, yeah, it's going to be night and day. And there was a guy, apparently, somebody took a video of some Astro fan just laying into the A's dugout nonstop.
Did you see the sign that said, "Stop hiding that rat boy, fires A's"? Is a big sign. Actually, it might have been the same guy who has the Jack Easterby sign, now that I think about it. I don't know.
It was a giant sign,
it said, "Stop hiding that rat boy, fires A's."
So there was a guy behind home plate. It was just like, stop. Okay, you're not getting them back. Who? They're not listening. No one cares.
Whatever, too bad.
All right. So, yeah. Okay, so you got to take it too. Everybody's going to catch it when they come here. Watch. We're going to get it back. We're going to get back at you. Whatever.
Can't wait for the Dodgers. Are the Dodgers scheduled to come here?
Absolutely.
Good.
Kick their ass.
Trevor Bauer out there cheating.
Oh, God. Cheater. For Trevor Bauer to get banged all over the building would be the greatest thing in history if the Astros ruined him. If the Astros ruined Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers, 12-1, 9-2. 7-0 with a no-hitter? Am I asking for too much? Is it a three-game series?
Listen, are the Angels going to catch it when they come here too after the crap that they pulled? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The LA Dodgers come here May 25th and May 26th.
We should make this the most inhospitable place to ever be a road team. Like, because we know.
You know they're going to be taking it.
And because the opposing teams are kind of welcoming the vitriol from their fan base towards the Astros. Let's make it a terrible experience
Mike
for
Socia
everyone.
Mike Socia did.
To be
He's
here.
Like, cool. They can do what they want to do.
Yeah. Everyone who walks in here should be miserable walking out because they got their ass kicked and the fans rode them until they couldn't take it anymore.
I'm for that. There's no problem. Why has it got to be a one-way street?
No, it doesn't. How about this homestand from May 25th through June 3rd? The Dodgers come in for two, then the Padres come in for three, and then the Red Sox come in for four. The Red Sox suck, but, I mean, that's a nice homestand right there, end of May and the beginning of June. Let's go. Man, how about it, having – and there were – it was at least – it looked like 50%, didn't it?
At first, but by I thought by the sixth, seventh inning it did. Well, there were certain pockets. It was weird. There were certain pockets, like somewhere between, I would say, about first base to home plate. It wasn't any space between. It was like the whole thing.
Really.
Well,
those
basically
are the more expensive seats.
Yeah, and then we'll be 50%.
50%.
These 50%. Way up like there. The upper deck. No one's. Like,
did you see there were three people in the upper deck?
I know. It's like what? Look, 50%.
50%.
It's 50%.
Behind home plate, there was zero social distancing.
I'm just thinking, because down first base, I'm like, man, I don't see hardly anybody not sitting close. Like, they're right next to each other down all those. And I realized
50%.
But further down the line towards the outfield. Now, the outfield was pretty full, too. But towards the outfield, and that's when I realized, this is the math. 50%.
50%.
We're not doing every other seat.
50%.
That's what they said.
That's what we're doing. So what did you hear about Strami and his philosophy?
So what they said was, if you listen to their broadcast, you get a lot of nuggets. And they were talking about the fact that Brent Strom doesn't try to dial guys back, especially from a spin rate standpoint. It's not that you have to slow down and try to really spin it and flick it with your wrist. He wants you to gun it and spin it at the same time because that's going to create better revolution. And so a lot of guys... you know, what I took away from it is a lot of guys end up getting their velocity back up because you're taught to throw hard, you know, to cut it loose. Because when you're cutting it loose and you're snapping it off, you're going to get better revolutions on your breaking pitch and whatever you're breaking, whether it's a slider or a curveball. And so, you know, the harder you're throwing, means the harder, the more the revolution and the spin rate is going to be as well. So he really doesn't ask you to, you know, worry about creating spin. He basically says, let's let the velocity do it. And you're going to have a benefit of fastball and curveball. And so, you know, they talked about that with the fact that Stanek's fastball was up at 98. And it had been 96 last year. His average was 95.6, I think they said. And yesterday he was 98, 97 consistently. And it looked good, man. He looked good. I love having that power arm in the bullpen.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't love Brooks Raley. And somebody is already calling him the Joe Biagini of the team already.
No, slow down. Well, I know. I've never been a big fan. Paredes is still wild, man. Man.
I know.
I mean, dude is just out of control. That's a problem because you
arm action is just going to be like,
yeah, I know that.
I think he's always going to be like that.
I know, right? I mean, it's hard to control that.
But that's now, how Dotel now was.
When he's got coming in.
Remember when Dotel had that whip going, but he would throw a bunch of balls?
Yep. So if you can work, if Paredes can, if he can master that, if he can gain, you know, gain command of that and still whip it like he does, we'll see. And it'll be interesting to see when Odorizzi comes back and then Fromber comes back. What happens with this rotation? Who's pitching the best and who can go to the bullpen? It appears that it would be Javier, but we'll see. They looked great yesterday. Astros win. Astros now 6-1 on the season. Another win over the A's. 5.5 games up on the A's already early on, and that's your main competition, although it appears to be the Angels. Joe Maddon making a difference with that team. And Rendon and that lineup, much better. So this is already started off to be. Man, is it good to jump out, isn't it? Instead of wondering if they're going to hit, wondering if they're, you know, if they're, if the all of the controversy around them in other parks, how they're going to handle that, if they didn't handle it well, you know, all of those things, they're answering so many questions that this team is building up a confidence right now. When Yordan is hitting fifth in the order, holy crap, how good is this? I mean, you can't, there's nobody you can get around. Altuve, but Tucker, Brantley, but Bregman, I mean, it doesn't end.
Everybody's hot. And Julio Morales asked Carlos, like, why are you guys so hot to start a season? Why is it all clicking already? And he just talked about their focus in the spring, that they came in. You know, last year was going to be impossible.
No,
the situation, the setup, they were still whip dogs, you know. It just wasn't going to work. This year, Carlos said they came in focused, ready. Guys, you know, came in shape. And this is, they're on a bit of a mission. This is a don't start none, won't be none tour right now. For the Astros, it's almost like, okay, you got your licks in through social media, and we don't care if – here's the thing. The fan bases would have probably buried them last year. They already didn't play baseball. It probably would have been a complete burial. They wouldn't have been in the playoffs. They wouldn't have finished second in the division. But now the fan stuff, all that's going to do is fuel them. Because I really get the sense that – did you see Carlos after his home run? Did you notice he cupped his ear as he was rounding third and passing the A's dugout? He cupped his ear. I don't know if someone was saying something to him or if they've been chirping at him, because it's not like the A's and Astros have gotten along great here recently. But Carlos cupped his ear as he rounded third base after the home run. And there was no way that was not intentional, because Carlos does want the smoke. He has no problem with it. And for him to cup the ear, Carlos is on. Oh, man, did he look good yesterday. Carlos is on one.
No. Well, Carlos has looked good. He just didn't have hits falling for him. But his exit velo has been great this year. Great this year. He just hasn't. He's been hitting BBs, although it's been at people. So now that they're starting to fall in, it just barely got over the wall and right. That's fine. What else? And that's a short porch in right. You're not going to have that everywhere. Maybe in New York and here. But, I mean, it's a home run. I don't know if you heard. That's a home run. And the Astros led 1-0 after Carlos Correa. I mean, it's great to see him hitting like this. This is so, you know, and this dude, it's so funny. He's betting on himself. He's betting on himself. And he said, you know what? Okay, this is what I think I'm worth. And I'm going to go for it this offseason. And he's, you know what he's doing? He's hitting and he's fielding and he's looking great. And he's like, he ain't afraid of big moments, man. he does. He feels sexy right now. He feels sexy going up there. And because every at-bat right now is big moments for him.
What is John Granato going to say, and myself for that matter, but since you were so concerned with keeping money in your Uncle Jim's pocket, if Carlos plays like this and the Astros have success.
He always does the ear thing, apparently.
Always around third base?
Always.
I don't always
see it did third it. Base. At first, he did it at on his way to first base.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's at some point he does it. I don't know.
When he's going to first base is when whenever he's on the road, that's where the home
team is. He did it at home, too. He did it. He cupped the ear. He's been doing that. He has been doing that.
I'm just curious if how long since people started getting after him?
When did he have a big home run? He had a huge home run and won a game in the playoffs.
But that's always the move. The quiet in this is always the move. Like, now what?
Yeah.
Now say something.
Right. I want to hear you guys chirping now. Yeah.
So what are you going to say if he plays like this and the season is over? And
I'm going to say I'm fine. I'm still fine with it.
With him walking, you're not going to say let's maybe up the deal?
Well, maybe they will make an offer for him. And
will you want them to? Ends.
Yeah, I would. Yes. Okay, but he's got. You know what? What I said was prove it.
Hold on.
Would you do
8-30?
We're 7 games in. Let's stay healthy.
Right.
And let's hit.
Right.
And if he does all of that, and if he stays healthy over 162, and if he hits big, then you know what? Pay that man his money.
But now you have competition.
Right. You do. But you didn't know he could stay healthy. You have to prove. He has to prove.
Well, we
it.
Still don't know.
No, we still don't.
But would you say, what if they said we want 10-30? We're taking way less than the other. We're taking 40.
Well, you gotta let them walk. You gotta let them walk.
8-30.
You gotta let them walk.
8-30.
You gotta let them walk.
That's 240. That's $100 million less than Tatis and Lindor. $100 million.
Yeah, total money. But
that's not going to be considered outrageous.
It's still $10 million or more a year than Tatis.
But it's still total money. He won't make as much as.
Oh, no. It's the same as Tatis. 24 a year. 24 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You're still.
It's more than Tatis.
No, it's 30.
Yeah, it's 30. Right.
It's 30. So you still.
It's more than Tatis is making. Tatis is getting 24 a year.
Hey, if I told you the Astros fans got after Mike Fiers yesterday in the stands, would you believe me? I didn't see this audio. When we come back, I want you to hear. I want you to hear Astros fans go after Mike Fiers.
Let's do it.
I love this too, by the way. This should be every time Mike Fiers ever steps in the city.
Yep. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so the Astros won yesterday. They pummeled the A's. It's actually worse than it looked. 6-2 is the final, but the Astros were in complete control of that one. Great start by Christian Javier. Bullpen, for the most part, did their job other than Brooks Raley. And then from a hitting standpoint, I mean, Yordan went upper deck. Jose Altuve went yard off the I think he may have hit Mr. Smokey Pants up there on a train. You had Carlos went yard and had a double and looked great at the plate. It was just a really good game by the Astros. The Astros are playing phenomenal baseball. Like, so many hitters are off to a good start. They look very focused. They look very confident. And they are off to what is a don't start none, won't be none world tour. And that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm excited about. Now, at first, I didn't have any problem with Mike Fiers. Like, you know, you said what happened, whatever. But as time has gone on, first of all, Fiers acted like a red hot bitch.
Whoa.
When he did that little move where he did his little. He's like, oh, I can't see, making fun of the Astro, yeah. George Springer, who's the nicest human on the planet,
yeah.
You know, or was when he was an Astro. And now, you know, and Mike Fiers, you're clowning the Astros and clowning George Springer. We saw that, Mike Fiers, you know that. He wouldn't show up in any of the Astros games last year. He hasn't shown up. He's going to miss both series this year. He is Mike Fiers and everything he's done. And then watching all of the baseball fans and even baseball media and even some baseball players act like this is a one-man show, that this is a one-team show, that all the cheating happens with one team and that's it. Watching everyone pile on when they know it's a lie, they openly know it's not true, especially baseball players and media. They know it's not true, but they still piled on. Then Mike Fiers pulled his little move. So I'm anti-Fiers now. At first I was like, you know, he was honest about it. I don't love it, but if this cleans up baseball. Now I realize, you know what? Not only is it not going to clean up baseball, there's actually more cheaters than I even realized. And then you've got these baseball players like, I am so outraged. The same ones who are literally gaining advantages like Trevor Bauer. And he's openly been talking about he's going to use pine tar until they make him stop. But that's gaining an illegal advantage. It's gaining a performance advantage, you weaselly chode. Now,
oh, chode. See, Julia's in there. Julia's in there in her little ears.
No one needs to be looking at Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
So the fans know they're not going to get a little taste of Mike Fiers. They're not going to get their licks in on Mike Fiers when he's on the mound. So yesterday, if you listen here, this is somebody captured this on Twitter on video when they were at the game. And this was the Astros fans' reaction to Mike Fiers.
He's too big a puss to go out there and pitch against them. There's no chance he pitches against them this year. He no way. I mean, and here? Now, I think he'll pitch against them half in
stadium.
Oakland.
Can you imagine if it was a full stadium? We want Fiers?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, please. When does Oakland come back?
He's not even here, though. There's no reason.
Yeah, why would he be here?
He's got simulated games.
He's got simulated
games. There's no reason for him to be here, yeah.
Yeah, they've got, you know, they have like a six-man team. That's what the Astros did yesterday. They got another team. They got six guys that they're paying to just sit around.
Stay away, your hometown six.
And stay in shape for in case we got to be called up because of COVID.
It's like the seven-man high school football of like a six-man baseball team.
So that's probably where Fiers is, and he's throwing because he can't come to the city.
If Fiers pitched here, would it be on the same level of when LeBron first went back to Cleveland? You remember how that went?
Yeah, I actually think it would. I mean, obviously, LeBron is a much bigger – that was a much bigger deal. It was a much bigger player. It was much more publicized. But in Houston, that would be just as big a deal where people – because now it's been building and building because Fiers keeps missing the Astros, and it seems almost intentional for 2 years in a row. Whether it is or not, that's what it seems like. So, yeah, I think it's actually building and gaining more – steam. I think it would be in that neighborhood. I mean, it's Mike Fiers. It's not, you know, LeBron, but still, I think it would have that kind of.
Oh, it would be. Everybody would want to be.
It would be more like when Carlos Beltran came back and people were throwing Monopoly money on the field, and all he did was just take a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And people were super pissed off.
I still don't get the Carlos Beltran hatred. I didn't get it before. Now I get it. He ruined this organization. He destroyed it by. Single-handedly destroy this organization with his coming in here and making him cheat. So that I get. Now I get the hatred
make
for
the
Carlos Beltran.
Cheat again?
He made him cheat. Yeah, yes, he made them cheat. He came in here and said, "What are you guys doing? You guys are way behind. Let's go. Let's start cheating here. Let's go." Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And you know what? You notice we have not heard word one from Carlos Beltran. Do you notice that? I mean,
he's disappeared.
He really has. Yeah, Carlos Beltran has literally disappeared. And he was going to be the Mets manager.
I don't know that he was ever a chit-chatty guy. Like, he's not a guy on social media or baseball shows or all that.
You know, Cora bounced back. AJ Hinch has bounced back. Beltran has not even attempted to come back. I wonder if someday he does and said, you know, because he was going to be the Mets manager, he would be really, really good at that whole.
But you know the difference?
Well, I don't know without
you
cheating,
know the difference? Cora and AJ Hinch didn't make Beltran money. Beltran doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't.
That's a labor, I assume, unless he's just bought a bunch of sharks.
Yeah, but those guys have made millions.
Aquariums and Lambos. But other than that, he's made baseball millions. Not manager money. He's made baseball money. He didn't have to come back. No. He was doing that because he loves baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he made over $100 million with the, when he signed with the Mets. So, and that's why we threw Monopoly money at him. Oh, my God.
Oh, ball boys in Europe don't mess around.
No.
Like, what the guys are reacting to is during a Europa League game, team, the guy on the road, one of the players trying to get a ball when it's out of bounds, and the ball boy just fired it at him.
I mean,
right.
Couldn't have been 6 feet away.
And he it was a fastball, and the guy's like, oh, what are you doing? The ball boy's like, what?
It looked like what a happened? Game of dodgeball is what it looked like.
Yeah, that happens more often than you think. Or, like, when you're trying to waste time for your team and the other team's trying to make a comeback, they'll grab the ball and pretend like they're going to hand it to the or throw it to the guy, and they just leave it on the ground.
Yeah.
The ball boys play games.
The ball boys are like, what?
Yeah,
what?
It's what? Much what? Different here where the baseball kids are like, oh, it's cute. He's diving for balls and stuff, and that's fun. Not in Europe or South America. They're like directly connected with the team. They don't mess around. And that player got a fastball right in the throat, it seemed like, or at least in the chest.
What are you talking about? Beltran turned baby face into I don't understand what that means, Iskelski. He turned baby face into
that's a wrestling term.
I don't know what that means.
It means good guy.
Oh, yeah, he did become a good guy here. Yeah, but I never understood the vitriol for him because he went and signed somewhere else.
Yeah, well,
and when Uncle D never offered, they never made him a serious offer.
They came back with a fake offer at the end. By the way, I found out from a pitcher at that time, not Lima, but a different pitcher I happened to be playing golf with, and he said how they did Daryl Kyle. That they waited until DK had a deal done, yeah,
and then they,
and then they came back with an offer that was like $2 million less than that, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
I didn't hear Blummer. What did Blummer say about fires?
I didn't hear it either.
Oh, Chase said Blummer was throwing shade at fires during the broadcast. I didn't hear that.
Call in and tell us because I had the game on, but I didn't hear every single word that was uttered.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Rockets in action tonight, and hopefully, you know, they can bounce back and get the much needed loss from tonight. They're at the Clippers. So, although we thought for sure they were going to lose to Dallas, and here they did. They stepped up and played. There is an article about who said that Kelly Olynyk was would be a good place for Kelly Olynyk.
Was it Avery Bradley?
Oh yeah, Avery Bradley.
Yeah,
Avery Bradley said this is a nice fit for Kelly Olynyk. You know, you know what? If Kelly Olynyk stays here, and they extend Kelly Olynyk, would you be heartbroken? Kelly Olynyk plays hard.
No, I say yesterday I wouldn't be offended. I mean, I wouldn't be heartbroken.
I would like to see a young. You know what? If you're rebuilding. I mean, how long? What kind of long term plan do you have for Kelly Olynyk?
It's a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, I'm not doing anything crazy.
And that would be while John Wall is still here.
Kelly Olynyk right now.
He's going to ruin the rebuild.
Here's John Wall. Kelly Olynyk's out here thinking, you know what? I could parlay this into 4 years, $25 million per $100 million deal. No. That's not what we were thinking. We were thinking like 2 at 12 per. Like 24 over 2.
Nah.
That sound better to you?
Kelly Olynyk ain't doing that.
Well, then Kelly Olynyk
ain't about that. For giving you Carlos money Correa back, life.
Can he and Carlos Correa can leave if they don't.
Who
like
would you rather have here, Carlos Correa or Kelly Olynyk?
Hey.
Yeah, I'd rather have that too. So CBS has put out its mock draft, NBA 2021 mock draft. Got the Rockets picking first.
Got the Rockets picking first.
Well, there's a good possibility they could get the number one pick. I mean,
it's a bit of a boat race right now. It's going to be hard to overtake.
Well, yeah. But they still have the same amount of ping pong balls that Orlando has.
We just got done talking about Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham. They have him taken.
Great. Oh, for the Rockets.
For the Rockets.
No, not great.
No thanks. Evan Mobley second. They got Jalen Suggs third. Then Jalen Green fourth.
Where's Jalen Green from?
Jalen Green is playing in the G League, right?
Oh, that's one of the G Leaguers. Yeah. And fifth is the other G League kid?
Jonathan Kuminga, they got fifth.
He plays at Creighton.
He's from the Congo.
He probably plays at Creighton.
Davion Mitchell, they got sixth.
Davion Mitchell played at Drake.
No, Davion Mitchell was at Baylor, just played. No,
Davion Mitchell's guy's D'ing up everybody.
Yeah. Well, Davion Mitchell, too, is exciting. I mean, how about Davion Mitchell moved himself in not only high, but high in the lottery with his performance.
Yeah, I think he was already there based on what Jonathan Givony was saying. It's kind of settled
already. Why are you listening to a jabroni?
Jonathan Givony, who is Givony, he's always been pretty good. ESPN ended up picking him up. In basketball, it kind of gets settled. Like in football, there's ups and downs, and everyone's got an opinion, and then the public opinion is shaped by the media, but in reality, it changes. Like in basketball, yeah, these are the five, and it's really not going to be that fluid. This is it. They know it for several months. They've been talking about these two guys from the G League. Like, okay, it's Mobley, it's Cunningham, Mobley, Suggs, and the two G Leaguers. They've been saying this forever, and it's like nothing's changing.
No. Well, I mean, how does it – yeah, why
– The one time I saw it really change, the narrative change, was when it was Beasley, and then we all saw Derrick Rose go off in the postseason, and you realize, wait a minute, Derrick Rose is better than Beasley. And then you started hearing the stories about Beasley's got 15 cell phones and he's this high maintenance guy and had some issues off the court and blah, blah, blah. And it just turns out one guy had a high, you know, love affair for basketball. He just happened to run into some problems physically. And the other guy was not. The other guy was Michael Beasley, who was talented, but not that guy. And that's how I'm not understanding. And that's not, I'm not comparing Cade Cunningham to Michael Beasley. What I'm saying is, you know, I didn't watch the whole season, so maybe I should keep my opinion to myself on this one, but I'm not. Jalen Suggs, just watching Cade Cunningham of the Big 12 tournament here, it just doesn't really, I'm not saying it doesn't look close, but one guy's got that alpha demeanor to him that you can see that he's going to turn into a real dude who can handle the ball, who can set other people up, who is going to be a big team first, but take over the game when needs to, and Suggs. And the other guy looked like he kind of shrunk a little bit, and Cade Cunningham. I just felt like Suggs clearly looked like, and I don't want a big as my top. I'm tired of bigs don't, skinny little bigs, unless they can shoot their faces off in threes. It's hard to really lock in on that.
Yeah.
Embiid is not a skinny little big. He was a different kind of, a beast. Guy with range, who was big, physical, strong. That's a little different. Anthony Davis obviously is way, way different. Mobley, I don't get any. There's no Anthony Davis vibes off of Mobley. Not even close.
No, they pass on Cade Cunningham, and if they've got the number one overall pick, take Jalen Suggs, and to hell with everybody else. Take the best player. The best player is Jalen Suggs. 830 ESPN 97.5. The best place to buy that Ford truck or car is Chastang Ford. Those are my peeps over there at Chastang Ford. I love what they're doing. And you are out there. You're working. You're trying to make your best life as far as your work van goes. No matter what, if it's a transit van or it's a pickup, whatever the case may be, a cargo van, a KUV, a service body, crane body, flatbed, stake bed, whatever it is, they customize it for you. Chastang Ford has seen everything. The number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston. That's what Chastang Ford is. And you can, listen, you can count on Chastang Ford. You can count on them for service. You can count on them for everything at ChastangFord.com. There's a reason that they are the number one Ford dealer in commercial vehicles is because of how good they are at this. So if you need a vehicle, and if you need that Ford pickup, that F-150 is spectacular. You've got to test drive this. You have got to see this thing. It is unbelievable. It's so good. You can even test drive it at home. They'll deliver it to your home. You can do everything online at ChastangFord.com. Everything. And don't forget, they will never have any add-ons. So if you're looking for that kind of dealership, ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, it's Chastang Ford.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did y'all see Mark Leishman chipping from behind 15?
I don't know who that is.
Going and going and going into the water.
Who is that? Is he a golfer?
Yes.
Is he a good golfer? I mean, relatively, yeah. They're all good if they're doing this, but is he a good golfer?
No, he's a good golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You didn't say it. So.
No, I don't watch.
Well, that's on you. No. No, that's your problem.
No, I'm glad.
If you don't love your career, then fine.
What?
I'm fine. Yeah. No, it's a major event that you're not watching.
I'm not watching.
And you choose to not watch.
I'm not choosing. I'm allergic. I told you the vaccine is still working its way through me.
The vaccine has nothing to do with you watching golf.
You don't know that the vaccine isn't affecting me in a way that keeps me from talking or watching golf. I told you. My general practitioner told me the vaccine affects everyone in different ways.
It does not affect your ability to talk golf.
See how difficult it is for me? So you can't say that it isn't. You don't know that. I'll use your words. You don't know. You don't know that.
I know it.
No, you don't know that.
No. So now you're creating a situation where nobody's going to want to get the vaccine because if you can't watch or talk about golf, nobody's going to want to do it.
I feel like you are overestimating the importance of golf.
No. It's the most important thing in the world right now. Right, Julia? Right? Yeah, Julia agrees.
She didn't even...
Did you...
Whatever.
Did you happen... I heard all these people, Michael Conforto's a cheater. Michael Conforto, that's cheat. What he did was cheat. And I looked it up. So, bases loaded.
Against the Marlins yesterday, the Mets were... on the comeback trail, the Marlins, their closer stinks. He was about to blow another save. And
two outs,
mm-hmm.
bases loaded. He two strikes, one and two is the count. Pitch goes over the plate perfectly. He sticks his elbow out, gets hit by the pitch. The umpire goes, yes, you were hit by the pitch. Take first base, game over. And then afterwards, the umpire said, oh, crap, it was a strike, and he should have been called out on strikes.
Yeah, and because baseball's review rules aren't, you know, you can't review everything. Apparently, that's a judgment call by the umpire, so it's not reviewable. You could only review whether he was hit or not. He was. And they didn't get together. He didn't get together with the second base umpire and say, well, he didn't even make an attempt to get out of the way with the ball in the strike zone.
He stuck
his elbow out. That should have been a strike. You're out, right? But instead, he goes, no, he got hit. Game over.
Well... And normally that is the case, but I would wonder if this isn't going to create umpires really, really looking at, I mean, a close pitch that's just that's inside off the plate. If they're not going to be a little bit more hesitant to not call, you know, hit by pitch as opposed to a strike. Because the Culpa looks bad here.
He does. It was obvious. Even the Mets. Team, not the team, the broadcast team was like, oh, he didn't try. That's a strike. And it seems like a common sense thing because we're all taught as kids. You have to at least try to get out of the way.
Right.
And we all know
not only did he not try to get out of the way, he leaned into it.
He leaned into it and on a strike.
Yeah.
And he got away with it. And it's blatant. Now, the Marlins stink and they're scuffling and they're, like I said, the closer's blown multiple games. And this one was one where at least they would have had another chance to get out of the inning. But it seems like an obvious thing. I think that's what pisses people off the most. That's an obvious thing that you should be able to take care of with replay. The guy obviously did nothing to try to avoid getting hit. And the rules say that's not part of the review process.
Well, which is kind of dumb. Was it a strike? Yeah, I get it. I get it. That's not, you can't review everything, but
you should be able to review. I guess they say you can't review an intention.
Right.
And you can't judge what his intention was, but it was pretty clear to anyone watching.
But that's not it. Was it a strike?
No.
You know, not intention, but was it, if it was over the plate and he got hit by it, whether he intended to get hit by it or not, he did get hit by it and it was over the plate.
And yeah, it was a strike and. That should have taken care of it.
The body becomes part of the bat. That's what they say. Remember in basketball where they say,
oh, the hand is part of the ball.
You know how many times we've had fights on the court about the hand is part of the ball?
Right.
People take that so literally, like they can smack the piss out of your hand in a shot. Right. Bro, that's a foul. Or if they hack down on your hand, like the hand is not part of the ball when you're smacking my hand and I'm dribbling. That's not the intent of the rule. And they use that. The same thing like, well, no, your arm, the whole arm and everything about your body is part of the bat whenever you get in the strike zone. That's how it should be.
Yep.
You're in a strike zone?
You're in a strike zone.
Don't be in a strike zone.
So are you guys a little bit worried? Justin Rose just teed off on one and went way right.
Yeah.
He hit 3-wood instead of driver, and he went way right. Do you think that maybe he chokes up a little bit after? Listen, make no mistake. Justin Rose's round yesterday, it's not overstated that it was one of the great rounds. When everybody else, and most everybody else, is over par and he's 7-under, he was unbelievable yesterday. And now he starts out with a 3. I'm a little bit concerned him starting out with a 3 root being a little conservative. And then he flared it right, which is a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem for a while, possibly.
No, it's not. It's just the first hole. That shot's over.
It keeps happening.
Well, yeah, if it keeps happening, then it's a problem.
Then it's gonna
I'm
looking at the new DeShawn article. Have you seen it?
No, I'm looking at Adia Barnes.
Who's that?
Have you seen this? We've got a little bit of controversy here, all right? Adia Barnes is the Arizona women's basketball coach.
Uh-huh.
And they were just in the NCAA championship game. I don't know if you know that. So asked on...
It was a hell of a game.
Afterwards podcast, she told the John Jay and Richie shows that when asked whether or not she would want the men's basketball team job, her response was, absolutely not. Zero interest. Guys don't listen to crap. No, you tell a guy to go right, he's going left 3 times. No, they don't listen. Is that acceptable, appropriate behavior by a female coach making all of these generalizations about men?
Yes.
I'm offended by this.
You know, this is one of these things where I found that on Larry Brown Sports, and he goes, "Oh, look at the sexism." I feel like a little bit of a reach. I don't know the context because I didn't hear whether she said it in a laughing fashion. But, you know, this is the whole thing where it feels like that's acceptable because it's coming from
a female.
Yeah. I mean, are we really upset that she said that?
No, but, yes. But you should.
I'm offended.
No, but here's the thing. This is really the idea about being offended. Like the idea that Jim Boeheim made his. See, I haven't found anything that Jim Boeheim said to be all that scandalous where he just said, Duke's actually playing better without the idea that, you know, a little bit Jay Billis and Kirk Herbstreit both have gone up in their towers as well to rescue players, because the way Jay Billis and Herbstreit responded, one to Dan Orlovsky, which Herbie was just like so far over the top. And even Jay Billis, I thought, because I watched the discussion on the air when it was happening, in case you missed it, Jim Boeheim basically made the comment that, what's the kid's name from Duke who left?
Jalen Johnson.
When he left, Duke started playing better. They started winning when Jalen Johnson left.
Well, a couple of games, and then it turned on him.
For 2 games.
Yeah.
And then he made a comment, they're actually playing better. They look like a better team without him. He wasn't bought in. He said things with his outside voice that you used to be able to say with your outside voice, although typically you don't talk about other teams. So that's one thing that's a little bit unusual. But what he basically just said was something that college coaches have to do. There's a reason Roy Williams retired. Roy Williams doesn't want to deal with the college game anymore. It's becoming a pain in the ass. And the players are becoming tougher to deal with. And the whole thing is just, it's been tough for a long time, but it's becoming worse and worse. And so he didn't want to, so he retired. He didn't make a big deal about the fact that it's harder to coach players because everything is individual now. And it's less team oriented. So you're not going to have as many people who buy into the concept of greater good. It's more about what about me?
Yeah.
And so it's harder for a coach because your whole thing is preaching team, team, team. That's what makes Kelvin Sampson, what he did so beautiful to me, is that you got this collection of misfit toys from other schools, and he gets them all to buy into a common process, and it's so beautiful to me. It's ugly basketball the way they play.
Yeah.
They're scrapping and clawing. But with when you make these comments, like she's making a comment that I think other guys have made, and they've caught a lot of flack for talking about younger players today or how hard it is. She's saying something that's completely accurate and fair, frankly. That's like, no, I don't want to be there. They're too hard to coach. That's what she's basically saying.
Well, and you know, she's now, guys don't listen. You tell a guy, And listen, she was making a joke.
And what? Especially,
oh my God! What are we really going to get on?
You think that? I don't think that was a joke. I think she was probably being serious.
No, they were laughing. He said
we're laughing.
She was eliciting laughs, and she was like, "Get no way, am I coaching guy?" She was joking.
You think she wants to coach guys?
No,
I think she's telling the truth. They're all laughing because they know it's the truth, and also they're probably a little uncomfortable. Like, yeah, and they're all laughing, but I'm sure she also is very disrespectful to her female team, to her women's team. That's disrespectful. Would you want to leave and go coach men? That's directly, if she said yes, that immediately means you're not an equal.
No.
There's no answer that she could give there that other than, no, I don't want to.
Yeah. No, but she was just joking. Good Lord, everybody stop.
And also the women's game, like everyone goes, what if a man has said it? The men's game doesn't face the same issues for legitimacy that the women's games get. So of course it's going to be worse. Let's say Sean Miller still had his job and he goes, no, we'll never coach women. They don't listen. It's different. It just comes off differently.
I got one at home. She doesn't listen.
See, she couldn't hear you. My mic was on. You're a terrible person. It just feels different. It's the same thing. Now she's not a comedian, but like a black comedian can make a joke that's okay.
Yeah,
the white comedian couldn't make the same joke because it's just different. And just accept that it's different, everybody.
It's not called different. It's called double standard.
Yeah, fine. Either way, in some instances, there is a double standard.
Yes, and you know what? She could say it. Oh, who gives a rat's ass?
No, everybody can
get
say
off
it.
Your high horse.
No, everyone can say it.
Bunch of wussies
college,
out there.
The college men's
you
team.
I feel like you said the men don't listen.
Why can't she?
What a bunch of.
No. Everybody can say it. College men's basketball is harder to coach because guys are less coachable now. Sorry that that's the big reveal. This is not. Talk to any coach in it. By the way, it's college football too. Talk to it. It's high school football. My brother talks about how brutal it is. It's being a teacher in high school. He said, I can't believe how kids openly, like, he said, you would be astonished at the things that are openly said in classrooms to teachers, to coaches. He said, the names that are called. He said, it is like kids are coming from homes now where you just have no respect for authority. None.
Yeah.
None. Back in the day, I didn't care who you were. You weren't gonna pop off. You just won't pop off.
No.
You weren't gonna pop off.
Not to a coach. Hell no. All right. We got John Clay Wolf. Popping off to John Clay. Well, he's going to be on here tomorrow morning right here. He's got a new co-host, right? And he's going to be on here tomorrow morning. Offended you and offended everyone in California. That will happen. So tomorrow morning you can hear him right here at 9 o'clock right after the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, John Clay Wolf, how are you?
I have another new co-host. He's underage. He's right here with me. How are y'all doing?
She's
his daughter. It's his daughter. Don't go anywhere with it, John. Yeah.
No, it's my son, and he says Zerline. Draft picks are all out of whack.
No, he's not right.
Wait a minute. He looked at Lance's mock draft and he was picking it apart?
Get in line. Everybody does it.
You have Justin Fields going to the Patriots.
No, I had him in this last one. I had him going to the Broncos. You're on mock one, son. Get up on mock three. You're on mock one. Go find mock 3.0.
Okay. Apparently you're behind.
Okay. That was February mock. We're in April.
That's even worse if you have him going to the Broncos.
Why? Because you think, you're not going to let me a little kid bait me into this.
Drew Lock has another chance. He may have been worse.
He stinks.
Worse this year, but, I mean, give him another chance.
Give him another chance. Why? So you have a smaller window of opportunity to win? Are you kidding me? Why would you want to give Drew Lock another chance?
He's only been there for 2 years.
Great. How long was Josh Rosen with Arizona?
One. But so what? Josh Rosen stinks.
Are you just comparing white quarterbacks to white quarterbacks?
Oh, white quarterbacks. Oh, they're all the same? Okay.
Probably in 5 years he'll be on a practice squad, but just give him one more chance.
Give him one more chance. What else did you find? What else did you find that was wrong with Lance's mock?
Yeah, what else?
First of all, Justin Fields now should be going to the 49ers.
He says, first of all.
Yeah, you got multiple.
There's a litany of problems with this mock draft.
First of all, Justin Fields to the 49ers now.
I'd be fine with that, but they're not going to do it. They're going with Mac Jones. I'd be fine with it. I'm trying to predict what's going to happen.
Right.
Mac Jones is going to fall to the Saints. That's what should happen.
What should happen?
What was it?
Mac Jones needs to fall to the Saints.
fall to the Saints?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's about where he should be drafted. Okay. Right. Yeah. Right. I'd be fine with that.
I like his mock draft already. Okay.
Much better than Lance's.
Well, too bad that's not going to happen, though.
Yeah.
You can wish and want all you want, son, but you're going to have to learn a tough lesson that your dad needs to tell you. Crap in one hand and wish in the other and see which one gets full first.
So where do
you... Hey, Granato. Yeah. There's no way to segue this into the Gimme the Vin thing, so let's not even try it. I'd appreciate not muddying my brand up with y'all's mess, actually.
GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com.
It's official now.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I'm telling John Clay Wolf, the next one that drops, your next mock that drops, he's calling in. His kid's calling in and going to dispute all of your picks with it.
I would love for that to happen because Lance, we see what Lance goes through on Twitter where he can't help himself. He allowed the son of a client to rile him up a little bit.
Not rattle me up. I basically went back at him and I roasted him.
Did you? I feel like he came out of that pretty well.
No, he didn't. I gave him the old crap, take a crap in one hand and wish in the other and see which one gets full first. It's a life lesson and it's also a great way to put a kid in his place.
And you compared Drew Lock to Josh Rosen when they're nothing alike.
Yeah, just because they're white.
Just because they're white quarterbacks.
Except they can both end up being replaced relatively early.
Then they're like any other quarterback. He rattled you. Just admit it.
No, he's like, it needs to be Justin Fields 3. Sorry, that's not who it's going to be, kid. The quicker you learn that's what you want is not what you're going to get, the better. Okay?
Yeah.
You got a point there. I've wanted you out of here for years and it hasn't happened. So.
See, here I am.
You see?
Yeah.
Wishing one hand.
Yeah.
Dell's been wishing that.
I really don't get about crapping in the other. Why can't I just use the toilet?
Well, but.
Wishing one hand, crapping in the toilet.
Wishes filling up in your toilet? No, they would fill up in your hand.
No, you say wish in one hand, crap in the toilet. See which one gets full first.
All your hopes and dreams aren't coming true.
Yeah.
Crap in your hand will come true.
I'm not crapping.
Julie, I'm sorry, but this has to be said because it paints a picture.
Of crap in your hand. That's the picture it paints.
Crap hand. Yeah. 852 ESPN. Red Raider Kevin wants to get in here and talk about parents and kids these days. What do you say? Uh-oh. What's up, Red Raider Kevin?
What's up, fellas? How
what's
y'all
up,
doing
Kev?
This morning, man?
Hey, we heard from your brother for the first time. It sounds like he's doing better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last week he called. Sounds like he's doing better.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Yeah, man, he is. I had him over a couple of weeks ago for my oldest boy that signed on to play at Air Force, came home from the force, and so we kind of joined with my baby boy's birthday and his coming in town. But, the thing, you know, Lance and John both, actually, man, for the longest, for 31 years, I coach Little League football. And, man, after this past season, like, I was already contemplating even before going into it if I should even continue to do it. And, man, I hated every second of this past season. Like, these parents, and I don't know if it's so much the kids, because the kids can only, you know, follow the lead. You know, there's some things
that's
the
true.
Kids, like, that we weren't allowed to do. You know, now you've got parents that sitting in their vehicle having grown folks conversation in front of kids. So when that kid gets out the car and runs to the field of practice, you can see it in their attitude, what their parents been saying. And everybody thinks they've got a superstar. You know, that's the biggest problem with these parents today. Everybody want to make the YouTube video of their baby doing something great. And if he's just not on that level, they don't even want to allow him to develop. And I've seen cats on social media, and I got off of a couple of sites on social media, Facebook being one. Man, I get sick and tired of seeing these dads post, I got the number one 5-year-old in the country. Like, do you?
Do you have the freaking number one 5-year-old in the country that'll probably be smoking crack by 17 or selling it? Like, come on, dude. Like, back off. Let him grow up. Let him be a kid. Let him learn the game. Then allow him to enjoy the game. One thing I did, even with my oldest boy, man, I always asked him every year, and I knew what his answer was going to be, but I was like, man, are you sure you want to play football this year? And he's like, Dad, why do you keep asking me that every year? Because I never wanted him to feel the pressure of doing something because I loved it. You know, I wanted him to be able to make up his own mind. But that's the biggest thing for parents, man. If they back their ass off and allow their kids to be kids first and not want to make them into these so-called YouTube heroes,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what's killing the game, man. That's what's killing the game. Nobody loves coach and want to listen to coach anymore. They want to coach them up on top of what you're telling them to do. And I told a parent that this past season, man, if you tell him one more thing, his ass is going to come sit with you and you can tell him the whole game.
I'm telling you right now, Kev, so I was really happy. My kids are in a basketball league, and I had these two they've had some bad coaches in the past, YMCA, where I know a lot more. But I do my stuff behind the scenes, maybe a little bit at halftime, but I keep it. They had coaches that are legit coaches this year. They had, and actually they have before at this league that they play in. The two coaches this year, and especially the head coach, were really good. Like, they were showing a matchup zone stuff. They were showing they were teaching them basketball, how to flash the high post, high low entry passes. It was real basketball that they were teaching them. And in that league, they've got a pretty strict rule about they don't want parents coaching from the stands at all, because if you go other places, it's crazy. But James Posey's son plays where my kid goes to school, and I was at the playoff basketball game that they played in. Posey didn't make a lot of noise. He's just sitting there watching. But we're from the generation where me personally, and granted, my dad was a coach, but I always like respected my coaches. I always thought my coaches knew everything. We're clearly, one guy was an insurance salesman. One guy, like, they didn't know baseball like I probably thought. But I had that respect for the coaches, and I never, my parents never went out, and I never go after and say, like, I don't try to coach from the stands, other than telling my kids to hustle off the field in baseball or to move your feet, something like that. Kevin, it's so bad. And my brother told me how bad it was getting in high school. And then I assumed that if it's this bad in high school, then junior high all the way down to Pee Wee football, it had to be bad.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you, man. It's almost to the point now, the way it's unbearable in youth football. It's nowhere near what it was when I first started doing this thing. And, you know, everything evolved, so I'm not expecting it to be like it was 30 years ago. But, man, it's not the kids. Kids are going to be kids. It's these damn parents, man. That's the biggest issue. And I'm sure any guy that's out there listening that coaches Little League or high school coaches can tell you, yeah, man, it's not the kid. It's those dads or, you know, and you get some moms, but more so, man, these dads, man, they are hard. You know what? You know what's the craziest thing? They get pissed at me because I'm the guy that, you know, I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to say what I feel. And I try and tell them all the time, your kid is only as good as his DNA. If you wasn't crap, what in the hell makes you think he's going to be this superstar?
So many people live in vicariously through their kids, but it's true.
And that is true. I got so many stories from coaching Little League. I can't even tell you. I can't even. And it was, he's right. Now, there were some little a-hole kids too, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, it was just the parents thinking that their kid was going to be, was just the best. He was Cal Ripken Jr. out there.
What makes parents so, Kev, thanks for the call, but what makes parents so many parents so stupid, like so blinded by their kid that they, I'm honest about my
You're
kids.
You're living through vicariously through them, that's all.
My kids are not, I wanted my kids to be really good at basketball and other stuff, but A, they don't work and play like I did. That's all, I was consumed with it. Some they do, but the other thing is, look, I'm not crazy. There's only a certain amount of foot movement that you're going to have relative to your DNA. You're not going to be an explosive leaper, son. I don't know how to tell you this. You're not going to have a lot of hard, strong dunks on a basketball goal.
Unless you lower it. Oh, I wish we had a hoops. What we do have, though, and listen,
you
we have...
stand
we
on have, granite countertop to do it.
We have Deshaun getting a W, and we'll talk about that on the other side. Deshaun finally caught a W here, in his battle against Tony Busby. And we'll tell you on the other side. In the meantime, I'm talking about that countertop that Jeff Aronoff will put in. I'm talking about that vanity. I'm talking about just an entire redo of your kitchen, an entire redo of your den, entire redo of your outdoor patio, an entire redo. It's got to be a big job. It ain't just there's some stones missing from my walkway. No, Jeff Aronoff ain't doing that. Jeff Aronoff is just doing big, big, big jobs that you need. Listen, and if you're somebody who has, it's building hotels, Jeff Aronoff does that. He does that as well. Puts in all the vanities in hotels around the country. This is what Jeff Aronoff does. And if you're looking for a guy that's going to get a big job done for you, you're building a house, or if you are, if you can't take the backyard anymore and you need it to be that giant outdoor kitchen that'll look wonderful and add to the value of your home or your business, just go to just call him, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5.